another visit from Predators general manager David Poyle. He's here with us just past the halfway point of the season as the Predators get set to go on the road after tonight. So we thought it'd be a good time to check in. David, thanks a lot for joining us once again.
Good to be here. Pretty much of a buzz in the building, I thought, this morning and tonight. And to me, that really supports why the NHL wanted to have a little bit different realignment, next year. It's good to have the familiarity within our division. I don't think we want to lose that in playing an unbalanced schedule. But it's good to get these other big market teams in here. So obviously, I was a little disappointed that the Players Association, for whatever reasons, thought it was the wrong thing to do at this time. So hopefully we can revisit that, because I think this is really good for our fans, and I believe it's good for our players.
You can't really feel it. And the good thing is you don't worry about it as much from the Predators' end like it was maybe the first couple years when the Red Wings would come to town. But you get a patch of them, and I think it sort of adds to the energy in the building. As you're talking about, you can almost feel it right now before the game starts.
Well, again, it goes right down in our locker room. I know in the coaches and the preparation, you think that you know everybody around the league, but I can tell you tonight's preparation is way different than it is against Detroit or Chicago. Our knowledge is not as strong as it is against those teams. So, again, I'm looking forward to it for a variety of reasons. And also, we get a couple of guys that were a big part of our team here for a lot of years, and Kimmo Timonen and Scott Hartnell.
Boy, it's interesting to watch their development as it's gone along. Seems like such a long time ago when they were here, but both were such a huge part of the building blocks of the foundation of this team. And I got a chance to chat with Scott Hartnell a little bit yesterday. He was such a young man when he was here, just 18 years old. He was talking about he had never had to, do bills or anything like that. So he sort of grew up here, and now he's continued and had another good phase of his career in Philadelphia.
Well, that's for sure. I mean, I think growing up, maturity on ice, off ice, if you will, it's natural. We see this in so many of our younger players. I guess I can say that because I've been in it for a long time and I've seen that process over and over again. But, just talking to him today, you can really tell. And his appreciation of where he is, the line that he's playing with Claude Giroux, that's a candidate for MVP, Jager, that's going to be in the Hall of Fame. Scott Hartnell, in his first year here, we kept him as a 19-year-old, and I believe he got 2 goals in the NHL. today at the halfway point, he's got 19 goals. So he's gone from a first-round pick with a lot of promise to a star right now.
And talk about that, David. Any surprise to you that Scott, 19 and 19 for just under 40 points at the halfway mark, even all-star discussion at this point, really on pace for a career year. Any surprise to you that Scott's doing what he's doing this year?
Well, again, we're prejudiced because we're the team that drafted him. So
right.
I think we saw that potential. I mean, he was rough around the edges and still is in a lot of ways the way he plays the game. But he plays with a very competitive, a lot of passion. He's a player that gets in the face of the other team real quickly, so you can dislike him a lot. And he gets those dirty goals. I mean, that's what we're all talking about. When you have a night where things are close and, you hear the coach say, we got to go to the hard areas. We got to get that dirty goal. We got to get that tip in. Well, Scott Hartnell, he's going to be in Pekka's face tonight. I'm really hoping for a couple of goalie interference penalties myself. And not goals against.
David, you talk about the young kids that you've developed over the years, but a couple of them are doing really well right now. Roman Josi and Ryan Ellis, both of them playing very well on the blue line for Nashville. You're partial to them, as you said, because you draft these kids, so you expect you'll see some things out of them, but especially the way they've just stepped in and done so smoothly this year. Is that any kind of surprise?
Well, it's all part of the plan, for sure. I mean, Willie, you said I'm here for a little bit of the review of the first half of the season. Well, I mean, I know after we finished the year last year, we won our first playoff round, that we, by what I did in hockey operations, we took a step back, losing Steve Sullivan, buying out J.P. Dumont, not re-signing Ward, Gotch, we can go through all of that. It was done with a purpose in mind. The purpose in mind is to set ourselves up to compete for the Stanley Cup down the road. I didn't think with that present, how we were going to go, their age, etc., that was going to get us there. Also freeing up the correct amount of dollars so we could sign Pekka Rinne and hopefully Ryan Suter and Shea Weber. And I said at the beginning of the season that it was my belief that we'll be better next year than we are this year. It was my belief that, and hopefully it will happen, that we can be better in the second half and the first half. And I'm really feeling good about that. I mean, when you look at what's transpired so far in the first half of the season, it certainly hasn't been smooth. I mean, ups and downs, inconsistencies. Pekka's saved us a number of times. But on the other hand, we've had some guys that are, you know, starting to perform at a higher consistent basis. And then you get into the kids. I mean, we've on defense, we've worked in Roman Josi, who training camps in a row where he's got hurt the first day. I mean, I think we knew what we had, but for injuries, we just couldn't get him into that position. Ryan Ellis has got everything to be successful. The only thing that you can't give him is the height. I guess he's not going to get that. So if you can get by the height part, this guy, once he's got the puck on a stick, it's always out of our end. He's really magic with the puck in his hockey sense. Jonathan Blum, you know, again, dealing with younger players. He's down in Milwaukee right now, but I'm very confident that just giving him a little bit of time, just like we talked earlier about Hartnell, he'll get it. And, you know, a little bit bigger, stronger, all those things again, confidence. He'll be back here. So that's three young defensemen up front. Craig Smith is in the somewhat of running for the Rookie of the Year. He's been terrific, and he's going to score a lot of goals for us. Gabriel Bork, again, coach's favorite. I mean, he looks like he's got a good chance to stay the way he's playing right now. And then we got second-year players like Spaulding, who's playing more and more in important roles. You know, Halaschek's got, I think, 9 goals playing in very little ice time, if you will. So, again, I think the foundation is getting pretty well set right now with younger players, and that's why I believe we can get better. And now we're going to see what happens.
Another aspect that you guys have really made no secret of, I've heard the ownership, especially when Pekka Rinne was signed, saying not only are you continuing to try to work to sign the Shea Webbers, the Ryan Suters long-term, but you've set the table here because you've had a lot of faith in the young players here to add a piece or two to this year's group if the right move comes up. And I know you're always on the lookout for that.
Yeah, but especially now, you know, again, we just had our meetings with all our amateur staff getting ready for the draft and our pro staff getting ready for this trading deadline. And, I mean, and I've been talking to, in the last week or so, you know, I'd say at least half of the teams. But here's the problem, and I don't mean to take myself off the hook here, just that the parity in the NHL is right there. I mean, there's maybe two or three teams that aren't going to be making the playoffs right now. So you've got 20 buyers, and you have maybe 3 sellers. And those sellers realize that the prices are only going to get higher the closer you get to the trading deadline. So I would love to make a deal today versus wait to the end of February, but that deal is not there right now. And like I say, the stakes and the prices are only get higher. It'd be real interesting to see whether, you know, a couple of clubs can get into either winning streaks or losing streaks so that we have some more teams that fall out and we can get some more sellers, because it's just like Calgary. I mean, they look to me like they're on the verge of being a seller. Then they go and make the Camilleri deal. So you know they're not going to be a seller now. They're going to, you know, go for it.
Yeah, and that was one team that I was looking at saying, well, I mean, maybe a week ago, maybe they would be a seller at some point, but they've won 2 or 3 in a row and they make that deal, so right now they're off the list. I wanted to ask you about it. You went on the record earlier this week to the Tennessean, giving an update on Ryan Suter's situation. I know he's a guy that you've talked to a lot, his agent, and maybe, if you will, just kind of take that for the repeat for the fans that didn't see it. You're working hard on it, but I'm guessing nothing has changed since you last talked about it.
There's nothing that's changed. I wasn't misquoted. I mean, I think what you're referring to is if, you know, we'll have to see where we are with Suter by the trading deadline. I think as a manager, I mean, again, I'll tell you, I'm not making the calls, but I'm getting a lot of calls on Ryan Suter. But our first goal has been and will be to try to sign Ryan. Whether we can get that done or not, I don't have the answer. The second goal, along with that, is to improve the team between now and February 27th. The last resort is if we don't feel confident that we're going to sign him is to explore or at least be prepared for, you know, some other options. And that's what I meant by that. But, you know, as I sit here today, I mean, like talking to Ryan, I mean, he wants to see how it goes and see what our future plans are or what have you. I mean, there's a lot of teams that have not, you know, signed all of their, would you say, top players, you know, before the season's over. So we still have, you know, the playoffs. We still have the off season, and we still have July. I mean, there's been players like Steve Sullivan as a case in point a couple of years ago where we couldn't agree on where we wanted to pay or what have you, and we sat down with his agent and said, well, why don't you see what's out there? You think the grass is greener and what have you? And on the first day of free agency, he called a couple of teams and he said, well, this is what we think we're worth, and but Steve would like to come back and play, and would you do this? And I said yes, and that was the deal. So Again, I don't know exactly how to answer it, and probably every time I'm asked the question, I answer it a little bit differently, but I know the main thing is that we're a much better team with Ryan Suter than we are without him, and I would love to get him signed.
And look, it looks to be that as you talked about all these things, he wants to know where things are, he wants to win, things like that. It doesn't look like that much. Money is always a factor, obviously, but it doesn't look like it's the factor here. There's a commitment on your end for sure to be very competitive there. And is that a fair characterization?
You probably have to ask him about the money part. I think it's a pretty important factor, but I think what the probably correct answer here is that either Ryan Suter plays for us or somewhere else, that he's going to get good dollars. The money's not going to be a problem for Ryan Suter.
David, kind of looking at you talk about Suter's situation, and you know you have Pekka signed up long term, but. Is it a matter of, and you don't have to say, you know, I'm targeting this player, it's this or that, but sometimes you might feel a minor move is the adjustment you want to make down the stretch, adding a part or a piece, as opposed to making a major move heading into the trade deadline for the playoff run. Do you feel like maybe there's some kind of impetus to show that you would be willing to make a major move, even if you might only be thinking, well, a piece here, a piece there? Is that something that might come up?
I'm open to anything. I mean, that's just, you know, again, I can just improve the team a little bit. That's good. If it could be a big trade, that's good. I have to take into consideration, especially in a big move, what kind of impact that would have on Weber and Suter, the dollars that we would have available, whether you know that would fit into them being here, whether that would fit into them not being here type of a situation. So there's a lot of factors that go into it, but. I mean, we all know that like last year we got Mike Fisher. That was a huge boost to our team. I think it's pretty fair to say if we didn't get Mike Fisher that we wouldn't have made the playoffs. And again, like I said earlier, you got at least 10 or 15 teams that are looking at it the same way. We're all on the bubble. I mean, you win three games and you're happy as can be. You lose three games, you fall below the line. And the team that makes that trade at the trading deadline might be the team that, you know, wins it all. I mean, I don't want to exaggerate, but certainly it's going to be the difference between maybe making the playoffs and not making the playoffs.
You know, David, it's just listening to your comments, it's pretty obvious, you know, the near-term success, even the long-term success of the Nashville Predators turns on, you know, the core of guys that are here right now. You're looking for a lot of, you know, kind of internal improvement from the cast of characters that's here right now. One of those great examples, in my view, Jordan Tootoo and the year he's having. Talk about, I'm sure our listeners will be curious to know about your thoughts about Jordan and how he's progressed as a Predator.
Well, it's been a fabulous story. A year ago at this time, I mean, I wasn't sure he'd ever play another game for us. I mean, obviously he was in a bad place off ice. He was a distraction to our team. His popularity might have been great with the fans, but it certainly wasn't with our players because he wasn't prepared and, you know, it just wasn't a good place. So. This has been, you know, wonderful news for us, but more importantly, it's been great for Jordan to get his life together off the ice because that's the ultimate situation. Having said that, his life off the ice being in order has made him realize with a clear head that there's more to the game than just running everybody and fighting everybody, and he's got more points and goals, and he's playing in a situation that's probably higher than ever before. Our third line, which we refer to it, seems to be outplaying every line every night. They're sometimes making the difference between us winning and losing, and Jordan is a big, big part of that. The game, their last game against Colorado, the last face-off and their end, Jordan Tootoo is on the ice. I mean, it's, you know, with a minute to go, and Ryan Suter makes a fabulous play, and, you know, Jordan just about had it, you know. But he wouldn't even have been a consideration to be on the ice.
Right.
So you can tell how far he's come in our coach's eyes, and it's great. Hopefully he can continue this.
Well, David, we appreciate your time. Good luck in the second half. It continues to unfold here. And as you mentioned, it seems like this every year there's that group between teams 5 through 12 that's so bunched up there. And so every game is big. Looking forward to tonight's action. And, again, thanks for your time.
Okay, thanks, guys.
All right. David Poile joining us here on our pregame activity. This is the Predators and the Flyers tonight at 7 o'clock. And it'll be at Bridgestone Arena, downtown Smashville. We have some tickets we are going to give away when we come back. So be listening here on how you're going to do it. You're going to be instructed when we come back here. And the one thing that definitely is a disqualifier is if you have a Flyers jersey on. Sorry, Flyers fans. I'm just not going to let you in for free tonight. We're glad that you're here. But if you want to get the free hookup, you got to be in the proper attire.
I'll back that.
Safe to say you probably didn't come from Philly banking on free tickets either. So,
right.
So we're probably not eliminating a big audience
right.
out there.
So I think we're okay there. All right, but if you're a Predator fan and you're hungry to go to this game tonight, we have got the hookup. So stay tuned. We're going to give some away when we come back. Stay tuned. This is our pregame coverage. It's brought to you by Gary Force Acura and Absolute Vodka. Cocktails perfected. This is 102.5 The Game.